All right, I'll share just a few thoughts from Scripture tonight. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. What time should we be done, Pastor? Okay. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. As I was praying about what I should share on furlough, the Lord laid a verse on my heart, and as I studied the book of Philippians, it's been a good study for me, some good principles here. I want to share just a few of those, or whet your appetite, perhaps, that you'll go away and study the book of Philippians as well. But the verse, the thought I want to share is from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul, writing there, he says, speaking of Timothy, he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." And when I read that and thought about that, I thought, you know, the Apostle Paul was quite an extensive missionary. He planted a lot of churches, traveled to a lot of areas, saw a lot of converts, discipled a lot of people. And bearing that in mind, I thought, this is a phenomenal statement that Paul would say, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Now, I don't think Paul here had an Elijah complex that he felt like, you know, woe is me, I'm the only one left here. Paul, at this point here, is in prison in Rome. I think perhaps several of his co-workers, ones that he could have sent, Luke, etc., maybe they weren't there in Rome. He does speak of Epaphroditus, who I believe was a qualified, like-minded individual, but Paul perhaps didn't feel like he was his descendant. He says here, he says in his letter, Epaphroditus was their messenger. They had sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul, and Paul was sending him back thinking, you know, well, he's not, you know, my Timothy to send. Nevertheless, he says, "I have no man like-minded." No man like-minded. As you study the book of Philippians, and you can do this on your own, look at the number of times that here in this epistle he addresses the importance of the mindset they're to have. Perhaps the key verse in the whole epistle here in regard to this topic is chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." But he says here in verse 20, "I have no man like-minded." You know, sometimes I think we glorify the ministry of men like the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul was not unfamiliar with the lack of like-mindedness. If you turn over to chapter 4, verse 2, he has to address this with two ladies here in this church at Philippi. He says, chapter 4, verse 2, "I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." As you pray for your missionaries, pray for the missionary wives. Ministries today are just like in Paul's day. Many times the conflict, the lack of like-mindedness can be with the women, and our wives are the first line of defense in ministering to those ladies. But you know, it wasn't just with the ladies. It wasn't just with the ladies. If you turn back to chapter 1, this lack of like-mindedness was also, he says here, among the brethren, and particularly among preachers. He mentions those who preach Christ. Chapter 1, look at verse 14. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, two groups of preachers here that weren't like-minded. He says, verse 16, the one, and then verse 17, the other. It'd be an interesting study for you to compare and contrast these two. He says, the one preached Christ of envy and strife, he says, of contention, not sincerely and in pretense. The other, he says, of goodwill, of love, and of truth. Now, these aren't false teachers. He addresses them in verse 14 as brethren in the Lord. Brethren in the Lord. But some of them, the ones who are preaching of envy and strife and contention, are not preaching with the mindset of Christ. And Paul, here in this book, he in chapter 2, in verse 3, he lays down this principle. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. The word strife there is the exact same word of that in verse 16 of chapter 1 of these individuals where it says, the one preached Christ of contention. It's the same word. They were preaching. They were preaching Christ with a spirit and attitude of contention, of strife. The Apostle Paul here, I think, is burdened. He's hurt. You know, this lack of like-mindedness. You know, he was the personality that had generated the preaching of both kinds. He said back in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul is a personality, and in his ministry he had sparked these two types of groups. The one who were preaching with not a Christ like mindset, and preaching from a perspective to hurt Paul. He says in verse 16, they preached of contention, the latter part of the verse. He says, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. To add pressure. Verse 30 of chapter 1 there. He says, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. This lack of like-mindedness was a pressure. It was a conflict to the Apostle Paul. The book seems to indicate that those who were preaching Christ, not from a like-mindedness, not from a biblical mindset, that was characterized by pride and selfishness. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:10 that only by pride cometh contention. Here in the book of Philippians, he's addressing that. He says, chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Empty glory. Chapter 3, verse 3, he says, we're not to have confidence in the flesh. These were prideful, self-confident individuals. They were selfish individuals. He tells chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 21 of chapter 2, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So there was this lack of like-mindedness. I think the Apostle Paul felt personally targeted and hurt by this. It was characterized by pride and selfishness. And here in this book, I believe Paul is making appeal for like-mindedness. But it's not an ecumenical type of appeal for everyone. Let's all get together and let's all unite and agree and have like-mindedness. No, the appeal he makes here is that everyone might come to the mind of Christ. He says, let this mind be in you. I think what's happening today in our country and ministries across the world is, seems to be this emphasis of you know, we can do more for the Lord if we'll just all get, you know, all Christians could unite and work together. And as a result, for that to happen, it's just a continual lowering and lowering of the standard, reducing things to the lowest common denominator so that everyone could work together. That's not the appeal Paul is making here. He's saying there is a standard, and the standard is the mind of Christ. That's the kind of mind that we're striving for. It's not the absence of a standard. Actually, Paul is holding up a very high standard here. G. Campbell Morgan said this brief paragraph in chapter 2 of Philippians, more than any other portion of our Bible, gives us a look into the heart, the mind, the attitude of Christ. It's an attitude of humility. It's an attitude of service. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Humility. Out of that humility, the service, the ministry, the actions that we find. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That kind of humility and sacrificial service was the kind of laborers that Paul was looking for, that he considered like-minded. Now, he says of Epaphroditus here that he, look at the verse 30 of chapter 2. He says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Paul found himself knit with and like-minded with individuals who were humble and willing to sacrifice, whose focus was not upon their own things, who were not seeking their own, but seeking the things of Jesus Christ. And he was making appeal, that's the kind of mindset we need to have. We need to have the mind of Christ. That's something that we don't just, at a Sunday evening service, decide we're going to have, though. It's something that begins when we get saved, and all our life, the Holy Spirit is teaching us to develop that kind of thinking and that kind of attitude and that kind of heart. So here in the book of Philippians, you see the emphasis that this is a progressive work that God is doing in our hearts. Look at chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6. Paul, as he's praying and thanking the Lord for these Philippian believers, and he thanks the Lord, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying this, God's work in our lives as believers, teaching us to have the mind of Christ, to have that heart and mental attitude from which we're to serve. He's saying that's an ongoing work. That's something that God continues to do in our life. Look at verse 25 of chapter 1. He says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He's saying, this is an ongoing work in your life. That was the testimony of the Apostle Paul himself personally. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's personal testimony was, this is a high standard, having the mind of Christ, and I haven't reached it yet. I'm reaching forward to it, I'm pressing, but I'm not there yet. I haven't attained. And yet he calls these believers to that same pursuit. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul's calling them to that same pursuit in their Christian life, to be pressing on toward having the mind of Christ. Part of how that was to happen in their life was as God's Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, teaches our hearts and our minds what it is to have the mind of Christ. And Paul prayed that that would happen for them. Look, turn back to chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Notice his prayer for them here. He says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." You know what happens in our lives when we're in this pursuit of having the mind of Christ? God's Holy Spirit takes His Word and He says, that's not right. That needs to... you shouldn't be thinking about that. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, matter of fact, He does it right here in this book. If you turn to chapter 4... Again, when you read through this, notice all the times he talks about how we're to think, our mind. Chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I think Paul, as he prayed for him, he's saying, "I'm praying that your love may abound more and more, and that you'll approve, you'll test to see what things are excellent." And he gives them even a checklist here. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Is it a virtue? If it's not proved and tested to be excellent, then you need to remove that from your life. You're not developing the mind of Christ if you're allowing that to continue. And I think that's where he ran into conflict with these who were preaching contention, supposing to add affliction to his bonds. Because even our Christian brethren, if you've had, you may have had this experience, you come alongside one of them, you're lovingly wanting to disciple and encourage him, and you say, "No, brother, you know, that's not a lovely or pure or honest thing that you need to have in your life. You need to remove that." You'll get some flack many times. Sometimes people don't appreciate that. And I think that's where Paul was burdened and he was hurt, because he was finding brethren who weren't in the pursuit he was in. The pursuit of having the mind of Christ. The pursuit of approving what things are excellent. And some people ask me sometimes, how many good churches are there in New Zealand? Well, there's two ways to answer that question. If you mean by the question, how many churches are there that preach the gospel, that would be one number. If you ask me, how many churches are there, ministries that are approving things that are excellent, that would be a far less number. Oh yes, these over here are brethren, and they're preaching Christ, but they're not in the pursuit of the mind of Christ and checking things, as Paul even here put a checklist right here in Philippians, They're not in that pursuit. Many don't even want to be encouraged that direction. They'd rather see the pressure reduced and the lack of encouragement and admonition in that direction. So Paul, I think here, burdened, and he prays for these Philippian believers. He says, I pray that your love will abound more and more in knowledge and judgment, discernment, that you will test and you will prove what is excellent. You know, we see the balance here in this book of God's sovereignty in this work as well as man's responsibility. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." In verse 12, he had said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's God that's working. His Holy Spirit will take the Word of God, teach you what is true and honest and pure and of good report and virtuous, the mind of Christ. And as you develop that mental attitude, that heart, that mindset, then ministry in your life is to flow out of that. And the Scripture speaks of this often. You look at both Ephesians and Colossians, talks about the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 says we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as their mind is renewed, both in Ephesians and Colossians, it says, then you're to put off and you're to put on. You're to live out of that renewed mind. We're to live out of the mindset of Christ. He goes on here in chapter 2, speaks of Timothy. I think Timothy was a like-minded worker. You know, I was thinking about this in relation to missionary work. And just as Paul was sending Timothy, your church sends out missionaries. You would want to have a confidence in the missionaries you send that they are like-minded. Paul, I think, had this confidence of Timothy. You know, he's sending Timothy back to Philippi. He says here, I'm sending Timothy, verse 19, he says, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Because Paul had a confidence that Timothy was like-minded, that he had this objective, this goal of developing the mindset of Christ. He could have a comfort that as Timothy went, Timothy would make a biblical assessment of their spiritual condition. If he didn't have that, Timothy could come back with a report and Paul would think, well, I wonder if Timothy really made a good spiritual evaluation and assessment of their spiritual condition. Now, Paul had a confidence that Timothy, with a biblical mindset, would go and make a proper assessment of their spiritual condition. But not only a proper assessment, then he says, verse 20, he will naturally care for your state. He would not only make an assessment of their spiritual needs, but then he would know how to take the truth of the Scripture and minister to those needs and meet those needs. And then Paul, he tells them, you know, look, that's the objective, developing the mind of Christ, and then we're to live out of that mindset. Back in verse 14, he adds this. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. I think he added that because to try to, without developing the heart and the mindset of Christ, and you try to do it in your own strength, you try to do it in your own flesh, it's going to result in a lot of murmurings and disputings. You know, that's what happens when you try to impose a standard upon people, but God hasn't changed their heart. They haven't developed the heart, the mindset, the pursuit of like-mindedness. You're going to have a lot of murmurings and disputings. But then he finishes, he says, here's the objective. Why do we do this? Why is this pursuit of developing the mind of Christ and living out of that mindset? What's our goal? What's our objective? Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I don't know about you, but this verse is a good description of New Zealand. Perhaps you would feel of America as well, that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And I think what Paul is saying here is if ministries are going to be effective, if they're going to shine as lights in a world that is a crooked and a perverse nation, they are going to have to develop the mindset of Christ. That has to be the standard that we're pursuing if we're going to have clear, bright, shining lights in a perverse nation. We don't need dim, smudged, compromised lights. We need clear lights. That, Paul says, is our objective. If you're not in this pursuit to have the mind of Christ, if you're not in this pursuit of approving things that are excellent, then you're not going to be a clear light. You're not going to be a clear light. What are we? Are we in that pursuit? Is that our goal? Do we want to be a clear light? I pray the Lord will help us keep our focus on what we're here to do, and to do it in a way that will glorify Him. Let's bow in prayer as we finish. Lord, thank You for Your Word that guides us, that gives us principles and truth for our lives personally, for our ministries. And Lord, help us to never lose the vision, the passion, that our heart's cry might be like that of the Apostle Paul, that we're reaching forward, we're pressing on. Lord, we want to be more and more like You day by day. Lord, as we do that, we pray that You'll use us. Lord, may people about us see our lives as a clear, shining light, that we might be able to point others to You and see them saved. Lord, give us the grace to do it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.